I know y'all can do better than that. I know I'm the pastor of a bunch of loudmouth folks, so let's try that again. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I'm going to ask you to do what we do every single Sunday morning. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. You say, Pastor, we've been standing all morning, getting up, getting down, this and that. Look here, you're going to do it one more time because I want to remind you that in a week's time, the devil will do everything that he can do to knock you down, to make you feel like you want to quit, to make you feel like it'd be easier to just walk away. And I want to tell you that, look here, God has made you well able to stand. You're able to stand today because God saw it fit to wake you up today with breath in your lungs. So you're going to be a blessing and God is going to bless you. If you've had a hard week, I'm just going to encourage you right now. Slip those hands up as I pray. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus, God, over every single person, Lord, that's watching on Facebook Live. God, every person that's in this sanctuary this morning, God, where there needs to be healing, God, I loose healing in this place right now in Jesus' name. Father God, for every person, God, in our county suffering an addiction and they want to be healed and free, God, I ask that you'd free them up. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you would walk down every single aisle this morning. God, give your children peace. God, give them hope. Lord, give them a future. God, and I thank you right now, Lord, that you're causing miracles to happen, Lord, for us in this week. God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, I always feel like I need to come with a disclosure. So I'm going to give you that disclosure right now. I know that many times in Walmart, how many of you can feel people looking at you and staring at you? I can feel that, and it's a weird feeling. But many times I'm in Walmart, and people are looking at me, and I can feel it, and they're going, yeah, and they'll get closer to me. And they'll come stand by me, and they'll go, are you that loud blonde mouth pastor that over there at the Paris Christian Center? Is that you? And I'll say, I'm the loud mouth. That's me. So I want to tell you this morning, if you've never heard my preaching, first of all, I want to tell you that I'm not politically correct. I'm not going to sugarcoat the gospel, and I'm going to say things that you think, should a pastor really say that? Look here, a pastor should be real. A pastor should be honest. We're here to get it real, and we're here to keep it real. One of the best compliments that I got a few weeks ago is they said, you know, Pastor Kelly, what I really appreciate about the way that you preach is you talk about real stuff. And I'm going to talk about something this morning that I believe that to a degree everybody deals with. Some of us will deal with it more than others, but how many of you can honestly say, you know, there's times where I take things just a little too personal. Amen. How many of you ever send a text to somebody and they didn't respond just in that moment and you're like, oh, they're mad at me. I said something to them last Tuesday and they're mad. Or you're overanalyzing that. Or maybe somebody looked at you a little strange in Walmart and you're thinking, I knew that person didn't like me. Or maybe you got a coworker and they were drinking coffee in the break room and they just shut the whole conversation down when you walked in and you're going, they were talking about me. That's what they were doing, them low-down jerks. Look here, we take things a little too personal. We do. I do. What made me think of it was this week on Thursday, we have two Celebrate Recovery meetings, and so we had our Thursday night one over at the Bain Center. If you have any hurts, habits, and hang-ups that you're sick of dealing with and you'd like to be free of them, that would be a good meeting for you to go to. But we were sitting there in an area that said, you know, we have to be able to identify our shortcomings. And I was sitting there and I was racking my brain and I was going, what is a shortcoming of mine? And I didn't have to think very long. And I thought, well, probably my worst shortcoming is the fact that I take everything too personal. Everything. I just take it too personal. And that is a way that the devil uses when we allow those things to go on in our mind and we take in everything personal. The devil can sift us. And over time, every little thing will offend us. Every little thing will ruffle our feathers. Every little thing will upset us. Every little thing will get at us. And let me tell you something. Your happiness should not and cannot be based off of what everybody else is doing. It can't. Because let me tell you something. You will never be happy if that's how you're going. If you can only be happy when everybody's smiling at you just the right way, when everybody's acting right. Jeremy always goes every night. He'll be in the recliner and I'll be there. And he'll look over and he'll go, well, did everybody act right today? I said, look, we're in the people business. Ain't nobody going to act right every day. It's like our kids. When I became a mom, I thought, my God, these kids are getting in trouble all the time. And Jeremy looked at me and goes, Kelly, they can't be good every day. They're not going to. So anyhow, we're going to talk this morning about stop taking it personal. Stop taking it personal. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And I have three beautiful sisters. My dad has four girls, and we're all different. And I've got a couple sisters, and they are teachers. And we've got Miss Melissa in here and Miss Tierney, and they're teachers too. So I like to do things that are going to help teachery-like people and detailed people. So if you want to take notes in this service, good luck trying to do that with me. But I've pointed out some bulletins here that I want to draw right out of the Word of God. We're talking about keeping things. We're not going to keep doing everything so personal. When I look at some of my worst days, it's when I've taken things too personally. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 3. One of the first things that I want to point out to you is many, many times it has nothing to do with you. Y'all repeat after me. It has nothing to do with me. So if you're a person that struggles with taking everything personal, what I want to tell you is that it's usually not personal. It's usually not personal. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, and it says right here, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Look here, when you're taking something from somebody too personal, what you need to understand is it's probably not personal to you at all. It's probably not personal to you at all. Sometimes I'm sitting in bed. How many of y'all got a king-size bed? God's really blessed you because, man, those things, that's what I look forward to at the end of every day is just getting up there and getting them blankets and just putting them over my head. When I get up there, many times, Keisha, I'll be sitting there and somebody will text me. And they'll say, Pastor, I sent you a message this morning. Are you mad at me because you never responded? And I'm going, I have received 3,700 messages today. And then, or I'll be sitting up in my bed and I'll think, I called somebody today. They never called me back. They must be mad at me. You ever done that? Okay. Now, let me just tell you, it's usually not personal. It's usually not personal at all. When we do that to ourselves, we are letting the devil have that foothold that God tells us not to do. See, the devil will get you to constantly look at yourself and to be criticizing. Because the next step is this right here. Well, what did I do to offend them? Why don't they like me? Well, why didn't they this and why didn't... And see, and then we want to go and we want to pick them apart and we want to pick other people apart. How many of you know that there have been many, many times that you have been going through something and somebody say, hey, are you mad at me? And you're going, no, I'm just going through life and I'm having a hard time. Many, many times. There's times where my dad will call me and he'll go, are you having a bad day because you this or you that? And I'm going, no, I'm just struggling. I'm just struggling in today. And so it's not usually personal. And we have to realize that our comfort and our validation, those things can only really come from God. We have to wean ourselves from having to be validated all the time. A lot of people, they are upset when they don't feel like they've lived up to some idea that somebody had for them. Look here. You best be who God wants you to be and forget all the rest of everybody else's ideas. Because all of everybody else's ideas are worth about 50 cents when it comes to your life. They're not worth much. You got to find what God wants you to do and do it and let this piddly stuff, like taking everything so personally, let it go. Let it fall by the wayside. Let's continue on. And if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships that we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Now, I want to talk to you about life. How many of you realize that life has a very bad habit of getting real, real quick? You could be going along. I've done this many, many times. You could be going along and everything's hunky-dory, and in a moment's time, you get a phone call, you get a this or you get a that, and you've just gone from very, very happy to very, very low. See, the word, there's nothing new under the sun, and so Paul is saying, you know what, we were under great pressure, and if there's something that I could say that the world is under right now, it is great pressure. It is great pressure. People are walking around and they're suffering from anxiety that is crippling them. They can't go out of their houses because of this, that, or the other. Let me tell you something. When God says that there is nothing new that's under the sun, baby, you can take that to the bank. There is nothing new that's under the sun. God's word is exact truth. We were under great pressure beyond our ability to endure. Have you ever said this? There's only so much that one person can really take. Have you ever said that when life got real with you and you said, you know what, I don't know how much more of this that I can actually take. Look here. Then why take everything so personal? Then why take everything so personal? We have to get to that place where we understand that, hey, that person's probably just having a bad day. Have you ever been in a restaurant and somebody waited on you and you were like, ooh, I think that waitress is having a very bad day? Have you ever had that experience? And you're like, here's where I get when that happens to me. I feel like I should let them sit down and me be their waitress, because I'm like, there's nothing worse than a waitress that's having a really bad day. And I always have that compassion over me because I was a waitress at one point in time when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, my dad would do this thing where he would look at the waitress and he would go, now hold on a second, are we having a bad day? And I would say, Dad, all this food that we just paid for, it all has spit in it because you asked that question. Stop asking them questions. Them waitresses are allowed to have them bad days. But look here, a lot of times when we're taking something personal that somebody did to us, they're having an off day. They're having a bad day. I can remember a couple years ago, and I'm not proud of this, but this is one of those things. You know, if pastors can't keep it real, you don't need them. If you're thinking that they're perfect, let me tell you, we're not, and none of us are. I was in the grocery store a few years ago, and I was with my nephew, who is about 350 pounds, and I was having a very, not even necessarily a bad day, I was having a bad month, and I was scrolling along here, and I was getting some things for the church, and all of a sudden, just sadness just hit me. There were some things that I was dealing with, and I was just sad about those things. How many of you know that there are times where you're just going along in your life and you're trying to go and do and be and all the stresses and all the things that pull at you, and just in a moment you start thinking about something just a little too much and it just gets you. And it gets you right up in whenever you're doing whatever. And all of a sudden I'm here with this buggy and I get behind this chick. Now, I'm not afraid to tell you these pet peeves that I have. I mean, I must be a real agitatable person because there's certain things that get on my nerves. Now, when you're in the grocery line and you got them, when you're not self-checking out yourself and you got that little belt thing that they still have that amazes me they still got them, because thank God some people still believe in somebody else bagging your groceries, because I'm not very good at that either. You should not be on the phone. You shouldn't. When you're up in the grocery line, you should not be on the phone. You should be putting them groceries on the belt. So this lady, she had probably like $300 worth of stuff, Sherry. I'm not kidding. And I had my pastor shirt on. Now, let me tell you something. Before I put that, somebody made me a pastor shirt. And before I wear it, I pray. And I say, God, is this a day that I can get away with wearing this shirt? I should have asked God that before this day come up. Because he would have told me, absolutely not. Do not wear that shirt. So here we are. And this chick is on the phone. And this is driving me crazy because I don't like to wait on things. Not grocery things, nothing. I'm leaving it. If I got to wait on it, I don't want it. So she is on the phone the entire time. So here's what I do. I get one of them little cutter-offer things, them little sticks that they give you, okay? They give you them for a reason, to clearly say, hey, this is her stuff, this is my stuff. So I get that stick, and I put it on the belt, and I thought, well, she's not going to be timely and get her stuff on this belt. I'm going to put my stuff on the belt. So I unload. I also had about $300 worth of stuff. I take all that stuff, and I got it, man, in like a little tiny square. I don't even know. I had it piled up. And here it is. It's going on the belt, and she's looking at me, and she's on the phone. Now, I'm not a real think-aheader. I did not think about this aspect of this. She didn't have any of her stuff on the belt. And here's the cashier. She presses that button. And here's all my stuff right there. And her stuff is still in the buggy. And keep in mind, I've just had a sad moment. And I'm not a very pretty crier. And I'm about to have a meltdown up in the grocery store. And that lady looks at me. And she was about three times as big as I was. And she starts griping me out up one end and down the other. And I've got my 350-pound nephew over here. And just the devil came over me. I was like, thank God we're in Russellville. Because I'm about to show out. Doesn't she know I'm having a bad day? And she's been on the phone for 10 minutes. All of her time to get these groceries has gone. That's her problem. And she told me off. One end and down the other. And my crazy self, I thought, nope, I'm not taking this off of you. So Alvy, this is not a proud moment for me. But I was going to tell her a little something. I've been seasoned a little bit. I've been a pastor a little longer, so I don't pull this stuff now. But in the beginning, it was a little rough. And my nephew gets in between us, and he goes, Aunt Kelly, stop being crazy. And I look over at the cashier, and she's going, don't do it. We'll have to take you out of here. And I just started crying. You know why? Because I was just having a moment. And I took what she said, and I took it too personal, because I was having a moment. There's times where we're taking everything that everybody's doing, and we're internalizing that, and we're twisting it, and we're making something personal. Man, that lady didn't know me. She was just on the phone talking, probably having a good old time. And here's a crazy woman having a moment of sadness up in the grocery store. Now, look, we can't take things too personal because you know what? Many, many times they're not personal. Don't act out of character when you feel like somebody's slighting you or doing something to you. Don't become somebody that you're not. Let it be what it is. It's a moment. They're either having a moment or you're having a moment or you're both having a moment. Let that be that. Let it be what it is. So the first bullet point is, hey, it's usually not personal. And we need to stop seeking approval from everybody else but God. There are so many times where we are so concerned about what everybody else thinks. And the last person we've asked is, what does God think? God, what do you think about this in my life? Lord, what do you think about this situation? What do you say, God, about what I'm going through? See, and we begin to take things, everything so personal. How many of you ever gone through a really hard time and you're mad and you almost get mad at God and you want to say, you know, God, why did you let this happen? And you start taking that personal. See, we got to stop taking every little thing so personal. The next place for me is Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 10. The second thing that I want to say is when we are taking things too personal, there's a certain trap that the enemy has set in the middle of all that taking things personally. Now, I was raised in the country. And you know what you did to little varmints and things when you were raised in the country? You set little traps. And you got a hold of them, okay? Well, if one of them traps ever gets a hold of you, you're in trouble. For instance, how many of y'all ever had a little mouse in your house? That's what happens when you live on 10 acres, okay, in a field. Growing up, tyranny, then mouses like to come in the winter. I don't live in the country now because I like to be 2 minutes away from the Sonic. When we bought our house, Jeremy said, does this house get good internet? Because if not, we're not living here. I said, where is Sonic? That's what made the decision for us. Doesn't take much to please us. We want internet. We want the Sonic. That's it. That's what makes us happy in life. So when I was a kid, they came out with them glue traps for them mice. Them things are awesome until you get one stuck on yourself. So we set this trap. And I remember early one morning there was a trap that was set for this little mouse. And it was one of them glue traps. And this little mouse was all up into this trap. Now, if you're an animal lover, I'm sorry for the story I'm about to tell you, but I did give you a disclosure before we started the service. I'm not politically correct. So we had this mouse, and I heard it doing little mousy noises that they do. And I was a tomboy at one point in my life, and Dad goes, Kelly, just go in there and take care of that mouse. I said, okay. I went in the bathroom, shut the door, and I looked at that little thing. I thought, you little varmint. And I got my shoe, Melissa, and I said, this is going to hurt. And I whacked it. Okay. Now, when we're going along in our life, the devil sets traps out for us. I know I just said that on live TV. When we're going in our life, the devil sets a trap. Here we are. We're having a bad day. We get right up in the middle of that thing and we're stuck up in there. And then he's got his shoe and he hitting us over head with it, and it's hurting. Look here. One of those traps is taking everything too personally. And when we want to be tempted to do that, what we have to realize is that is a trap. That is a trap that the devil has set out, and you have to train your mind, and you have to renew your mind to line up with the Word of God to say, hey, I'm not going to do that to myself. I'm not going to do that. So you say, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor Kelly. I've got a really creative mind. Look here. I've got a very creative mind, and I can conjure stuff up. But even I, you got to go to the Word, and you got to say, what does the Word say about this way that I think about life? And so in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it gives us the best piece of material for when our minds want to go crazy with us. Because let me tell you something. The devil knows exactly the area of your life where you're weary. He knows where you're hurting. The devil's not going to send a fiery dart in the area where you're good. He's going to attack you in your weakest part of you, the place where you're hurting the most, the place where you're disappointed in your family, the place where you're having that bad marriage problem in the moment, that place where you've heard the worst thing about whatever, about your health from the doctor. See, the devil's going to attack that place. And the Word of God is so amazing that it tells us, hey, think on these things. Don't think on anything else. You best be thinking right this way. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. There are things that are going to go on in your life. There's things that have gone on in your life. You can't go off of your own strength. You're not going to be able to go off of your strength, because there's going to be a moment in time where you ain't got no strength left. And in that moment, that's where the Holy Spirit kicks in, and you're going off of the strength that God has for you. It's not all about the battle. It's not all about you. It's about God. What is God going to do in this battle? Man, I know when I'm in the thick of it and I'm stressing over what's going to happen, I just need to stop and say, now, God, this battle did not come as a surprise to you. God, you are not intimidated by my current problem. So it says here, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And if there's one thing that I can tell you about the devil, is that he's always scheming. He's always looking at your life, and he's always thinking, now what can I do to steal, to kill, and to destroy in this person's life? And many times he does those three things just in our thought life, just in what he gets us to meditate on. That's why the Word says, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, let them be pleasing to you. Because look here, God's not pleased when you're criticizing everything about yourself. God's not pleased when you're critiquing everything in a way that people said it. Have you ever said, this is the craziest thing, but many times, poor Pastor Jeremy, he is the sanest person I know. That's why God gave him to me, because I needed a very, very sane man. And I'll say, Jeremy, I think so-and-so doesn't like me, or I think that they're mad at me. And he'll say, why do you think that? And I'll say, well, because when they saw me in the grocery store, they said hi, but they said it like this, hi. You ever do that? Casey's going, yep. And you're analyzing the tone that somebody had when they were talking to you. Look here, you got to stop doing that. All these women are going, yep, I know exactly. And all the men are going, what is she talking about? We don't do that stuff. Look here, this message is to help you men, because I'm giving you an inside look at what we women go through all the time. And when we come up with crazy things like that, and we're asking you, do them people like us because how they said hi to us, you're going to say, yes, baby, they love you. Don't pay attention to the tone that they told you hi up in the grocery store, because that's crazy. And you're taking that too personal. So, anyhow, The devil's always scheming, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when, y'all say when, the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Look here, it's not a matter of if I'm going to have a problem. You're going to have many problems. The Word of God tells you, now look here, in this life you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulations. That's a part of this life down here. There's things that are going to come up and they're going to shake you to the very core of who you are. But at the end of the day, if who you are is based off of Christ, you're going to make it. If it's not built off of Christ, you got to have a big problem. But it says here that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. There's so many Christians in today's society, and they've kind of just plopped over because they were not able to stand their ground. They were not able to stand their ground because they did not put on the full armor of God. You're not going to go to Black Friday thinking you ain't going to have to do a little pushing and shoving. Because let me tell you something. There's ships somewhere over up in the ocean over now. They're having a port problem. And apparently everything that we want is up in there in that those boats in the water. I ordered me some leggings the other day. Looks like that's going to be, they're going to come in May. I said, I don't need those leggings in May. I need them in right now. They ain't coming. Y'all do your Christmas shopping early. Do it now. And don't get arrested on Black Friday, because if you do, I mean, you're probably going to be in there with me. But look here. Put on the armor of God. This life that we're living is extremely difficult. There's a lot of things that go on. And you've got to have the full armor of God on, because if you don't, you're not going to last 5 minutes. You're not going to last 5 minutes. It says here, so that you can stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth. Look here. What is truth? What is truth? Truth is, who does God say that I am? God calls you his own. He calls you his child. He calls you the head and not the tail. He calls you above and not beneath. And for whatever reason, we overanalyze everything that's said and done to us. We shouldn't be doing that. We don't even need to take the stuff personal. So it says, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. One of the things that's lacking in today's society is just peace. Peace. When you lay your head down at night and you're thinking, boy, I sure am tired, but you can't seem to go to bed because that mind is just racing with all the things that you have to do, all the problems that you're going to have to deal with. Look here. You need to say, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I take control of this situation. I tell this mind to shut off and go to rest. Go to sleep, because God, there is not a moment of my worrying that's going to put anything good into this situation. A lot of times what people need is just to shut their mind off and rest. You make most of your bad decisions when you're not resting. You ever made any really dumb decisions because you was too tired to make good ones? Exactly. I bought a car like that one time. I pulled an all-nighter, and I was watching TV, Sherry, because I couldn't go to bed. And they kept playing them Nissan commercials. That's the problem with me and watching any TV with commercials, because you will talk me into buying something, and it won't take long. About 4 hours of watching them commercials, I woke Jeremy up. I was pregnant, so I was extra crazy. I said, Jeremy, get up, because today we're going to buy a car. He goes, today? I said, yep, okay. He's learned to not even question the crazy. He's like, all right, I'm going to get dressed. Whose car? Are we going to get me a car or you a car? Whose car are we getting? look here, we just have to be ready for the things that the devil is going to try to throw at us. And we have to realize that, look here, I'm going to stand firm in who God tells me that I am. I'm going to be able to stand because God's made me to be able to stand. I'm not going to take things personal. I'm not going to overanalyze this. I'm not going to sit here and lose my peace over the situation. And in verse 16, it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So, point two is we have to realize that when we want to take everything personal, that's a trap. And it's a trap that you don't want to fall up into. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to get into the meat of this. And we're going to look at verse 27. The third point that I want to bring out is this right here. We've talked about it's usually not personal. We've talked about the fact that it's a trap. Now we're going to talk about the fact that sometimes people have gone out of their way to hurt you. It really is personal, but how do you not take it personal? How do you not take it personal? When it was meant to harm you, when somebody went out of their way to hurt you, how do you shut that off and say, you know what, this was set out to be something against me, but look here, I'm not going to allow that to happen. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 27, and our third point is this right here. Hurt people hurt people. There's a lot of hurting people in the world today. And one of the main things that they know how to do is hurt other people. There have been times where I have been hurt and I've gotten mad. I've gotten all sorts of emotions. But when I was able to take a step back, what I could see is, you know what, that person, they were just really hurting themselves. They were hurting on the inside, and because of their pain, they weren't able to do anything else but hurt other people. And we have to see that so we can know how to act accordingly. See, the Word of God tells us how to act towards people that are actively trying to hurt us. And it says here in verse 27, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them to do to you. Look here. When somebody's taking the cheapest shot at you, there's a decision that has to be made. And it's based off of what kind of person are you. On your worst day, when you've heard the worst bit of information, when you've been hurt the worst, when you've been disappointed the most, who are you on that day? Because that's who you are. Who are you on that day? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Nowhere in the Word of God are you going to ever find the word saying, if somebody smacks you, smack them back. If somebody does this to you, you have the right to get them right back. I wish the word said that sometimes. I really do. The other day, the principal called me. And Carson Paul was getting bullied at school. And I'm at that point in parenthood where I realize I can't be with him all the time. So I'm trying to let him have a little bit of room there to grow. And I knew there was a certain situation that had kept going on, Gary. And I trained my kids. I said, you don't go around putting your hands on people. You don't go hit people. That's not what we do, because Jesus doesn't like that. And stop doing it to your brother. And the principal calls. She goes, Kelly, Carson Paul will not defend himself, and he's letting this kid whoop up on him. I said, oh, my God, maybe I've overtaught that because I don't want him to get whooped up on. And I had a talk with Carson. I said, Carson, look here. You can't go around beating on people. You just can't do it. I'm going to give you some time to work this problem out. But when it gets to the point where you want mama to get involved, that's all you got to say. You get these 35-year-old grown adults and their mamas are still trying to figure out their life problems. That's a problem. That's when you get them living with you for the rest of your life and you'll never get rid of them because you handled all their problems. And they don't know how to live life without you in their life. My mom was like, you never looked back. You just left, Kelly. I'm like, goodbye, mama. She called me the other day, can I schedule an appointment with you? I'd like to spend some time with you. Can I schedule an appointment? And I said, well, let me look at the books. Let's go call bingo together, mama. So I get another call a few days later from the principal. And she had a different tone. And I could tell something had happened. And I said, yes, Principal Sluderman, this is Miss Kitson. She goes, well, I'm just telling you this because I know how you are. I want to say, how am I? But I know how I am. She goes, Carson Paul just got sick of being bullied. I said, he did. She said, yep. I said, well, what did he do? She went into what he did. And I said, okay. Hung the phone up, went to Jeremy. Jeremy has a light for me. He works from home. And the light did not say on a call, because apparently I like to bother him when he's working. So he got me a light that goes on the back of the door. And if the light's on and it says I'm on a call, I'm not to go up in there. It wasn't on. So, Albie, it's free game. I fling that door open. He goes, you always act like you're the police or something. I fling myself up in there. I said, now, we have a little situation. Our son, the shrimpy one, he's like 10 anyway, he's like 40 pounds. The shrimpy one, he got sick of being bullied, and I know that we've raised him to not whack on people, but he just had enough. I tell Jeremy what he did. And Carson gets home. We get Carson in the office. We sat him down. And I said, look, Carson, at the end of the day, you're not in trouble for this. But here's what I want you to get out of this. There's something more that's going on than just this kid bullying you. And what I want you to understand, Carson Paul, is the fact that there's something going on with this child, this kid that's being mean to you. There's something going on with him, and he is having a moment. Doesn't make him a bad kid. Doesn't make him whatever. He's going through something, and you're going to give him what's called grace. And you're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And if he whacks you again, you be sure to let me know, because I'm going to step in at that point. But we can't take what everybody does to us so personal. We have to realize that some people are hurting, and because they're hurting, they don't know anything else to do but hurt other people. So it tells us to love our enemies. Now let's go to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 47 through 48. And here's Jesus, he's praying, and he's fixing to be arrested, and Judas Iscariot is fixing to betray him. And here's something that we have to keep in the very forefront of our minds. There is nothing that you have gone through that Christ didn't go through also. To the point, when he was betrayed by one of the closest people to him, he was betrayed with a kiss. So Luke chapter 22, verse 47, and while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. And as he approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? That kiss symbolized, this is the one that you're supposed to arrest. This is the one who's Christ. Look here. If Jesus himself was betrayed with a kiss, you're going to have to stop taking things so personal, because people are going to do some things to you. It's going to hurt and it's going to sting. And what you're going to have to do is realize that God is going to use that situation to make you a part of who you're supposed to be. And it's going to work itself out. God's going to work it out. There are times where I have been in deep, dark depressions over things that people did, and I got mad at God over the things that I thought he allowed them to do to me, Sherry. But what you have to realize is this right here. They were hurting. I'm not giving them a free pass. There was a moment, and I'll never forget it. I was in my house, and I was walking along, and I was just contemplating my move. How many of you contemplate your moves? On my best days, I contemplate them. On my worst ones, I don't. They always turn out bad. But I was saying, God, what is my move? Because I know I can't go off of what I feel like doing. He said, Kelly, get on your knees and pray this through. And I said, okay. And I got on my knees, and I said, God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus, and I begin to call out their name. See, when is the last time that you called out somebody's name in prayer that had done wronged you? When was the last time that somebody offended you real good, and you did more praying for them instead of talking about them, and you just said, God, whatever they're going through, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every situation, God, that's making them act like this. Lord, I ask you right now to heal them up. God, I ask that you would perfect the things that are concerning them. Lord, I ask that you'd bless them. See, we always want God to whack them and to do all these things. Lord, help them to reap what they've sowed. I'm all about that. But look here. If we pray those kind of prayers, we're going to pray them over ourselves. Because on our worst days, we sow some stuff too. Amen? We have to learn what to do with people that have hurt us. And what we don't do with them is taking it personal. You can't afford to take that stuff personal, because it'll eat you up. There are people that I have talked to in the ministry. Here's the problem with being a pastor. Everybody thinks you are Dr. Phil. To the point, I don't ask people how they're doing in the grocery store. You know why? Because 30 minutes later, when you went in there to get sugar, you still don't have that sugar. You're having a counseling session right there up in that aisle. You know what I say to them? Isn't this weather beautiful? It is. It's beautiful. The sun is shining. Last place for me, Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 14 through 21. Hallelujah. One of the things we have to do when we say, I'm going to stop taking things personal, we have to learn how to process pain. A lot of people don't know what to do with pain. They just know something irked them, and it's going to keep irking them, and they're going to let it keep irking them. How do you process pain? How do you process an offense? How do you process when somebody's done something to you and it wasn't right and you feel like they're going to get one over on you? See, the Word says, I've made you an overcomer. Can you overcome that? Absolutely. The question is, do you want to? Do you want to overcome a hurt that someone's done to you? Or do you want to keep on making everything personal? It's a decision. And it's a mindset. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And it says here, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Many times when we've taken it personal, we've been able to take it personal because a lot of folks are not rooted and grounded. They're not rooted and grounded. When you're not rooted and grounded, you have no idea who you are. You have no clue. That's why when somebody tells you off at the grocery store, you're tempted to just give them a good earful yourself. That Kelly then is a different Kelly now. You know what I would have done if that happened again? I'd say, hey, you continue that conversation on your phone. I'm going to load these groceries on this belt for you. Let me help you. See, we take things so personal, and people are going through their everyday lives, and they ain't realizing what they're doing to other people. They're just trying to make it themselves. And we're over here, and we're taking everything, and we're recording every wrong that everybody does to us. I was in an argument, and I know that this is going to really shock you. But how many of you know, married couples, you have little spats? All right, everybody with your hand down, you're all lying. I'm going to really shock you. Pastor Jeremy and I, at times, we have our little marital spats. No, that's hard to believe. And I'm a very passionate Italian, so there you go. And I was telling Jeremy, I was saying, well, you do this, this, and this. I can't even remember what I ate 5 minutes ago, but when it comes to telling him what he's doing wrong, I am crystal clear on that. And he said, I did not do that. And I said, yes, you did. You were wearing this, this, and this, and you were doing that. And I recalled like every detail about what he was doing, because I took what he did too personal, and he didn't even know he did it. And I said, I tell you what I'm going to start doing, and I get real gangster when we're really in a good, bad argument. I said, I tell you what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start writing these things down, because you get a very bad memory when it comes to what you do. And I felt the Holy Spirit up in this little heart of mine. The moment I said that, I went to that verse that I read at every wedding that I perform that says, love keeps no record of wrongs. And boy, I tell you, the spirit of conviction got a hold of me so bad. And I felt God say, Kelly, if you know what's best for you, don't you dare do that to your husband. You are not going to keep a record of wrongs of what him or anybody else does, because the moment that you do, I'm going to have to do that with you. Look here. Why do you think that the Word says when you stand praying, if you have aught against anybody, forgive, so that I can forgive you? This piddly stuff, all this taking everything personal, that's for people that ain't got nothing to do with God. If you're a child of God, you don't got to take that stuff personal, because look, here's what you know. God's going to cause all grace to abound to you. He's going to cause things to work out for good for you. When you will leave those choices up to God, God will take care of them. And it says, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. The reason you're not going to take things personal is because God has something better for you. And it's going to require you to put aside petty thinking and go with what God has for you. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you right now for every single person, Lord, that's heard your word. God, I ask you right now that if there be anybody in here, Lord, and they're having trouble in this area of their life, God, taking everything personal, Lord, I ask that you'd pour out grace, God, on them right now, Lord, for every situation, every season in their life, God, for every problem, God, that has come up in their life. Lord, I thank you that you are fixing those problems. You are not a God of disorder, but God, you're a God of order. So we thank you, Lord, for working all the kinks out, God, in us. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.